You're listening to podcastjuice.net.
I'm just like, hey, I'm gonna put it out there. My ass looks good in skinny jeans. Thank you. Hey,
this fool is tripping.
I'm out of here.
You on your own there, bro.
What? Y'all, come on, man. Y'all ain't never been in the shower with a man and you see the suds roll down the crack of his ass and you just be I was fooling y'all. Those was jokes. Woo! Woo! Hey man, fuck it, I'm going.
She do it all night. She going hard, right? She loves spotlight. She make that thing go.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Podcast Juice. My name is Michael Dean, and this is what we do. Joining me today, Mr. Q Storm. How are you, sir?
Well, I was going to say something, but I decided not to. Let me just introduce myself. Yeah, this is Q Storm.
All right.
There's some people on this panel that I had words for, but you know what? We're going to start this off in a nice, you know, very nice, bright manner.
All right, Mr. Sean Hill, how are you?
All right, I'm doing well. I feel like quoting or somewhat quoting the great Rakim. It's been a long time. We shouldn't have left you without a dope podcast to step to. We're back.
Okay.
We're back.
I like that.
We're back.
Crystal, how are you?
I am doing great.
Good.
Yes.
And Mr. Ampu, how are you doing, sir?
Well, I will see your... I forgot who that was.
Oh,
Rakim.
Oh,
yeah, there you go, Rakim. Hey, Rakim. And I will raise you Creed with a hello, my friends, we meet again. It's been a while. Where shall we begin?
Who is that?
Feels like forever. Creed.
Wait, rock did band. You say whoa.
Creed?
Did you
wait. It's Creed.
Hang
on. Did I hear you say you don't like Rakim?
I've never been a big fan of Rakim.
And then you go to quote Creed. Yes. You niggas, boy, I tell you, man.
I'm sorry if I'm cultured and you know want to step outside my box. Thank you very much.
All right, let's get your skinny jeans and all that.
I'm gonna put it out there. My ass looks good in skinny jeans. Thank you very much.
Good. Hey. I'm glad you. That I'm gonna. Cut that part. I'm gonna put that at the top of the show. That's you done set yourself right there, bro.
Hey, I know who Creed is, and I know who Rakim is.
I know who Creed is too.
See, yeah. Thank you.
And they ain't on the Rakim's level, but that's
no, they're not.
I don't know what the hell that's about.
And did you enjoy that song that Jamal sang for Lucius?
Because I don't like Rakim, I gotta have it.
No, because your ass apparently looks good in skinny jeans.
It's because your ass looks good in tight jeans because you wore your mama's shoes.
Whoa, watch Glee.
All kinds of stuff. That's why.
Man.
First of all, I'm not alone in that panel. I haven't done that as a child. Thank you very much. Let's give some context there, sir.
Who else here has done that?
Yeah, please. Who?
Aside from Crystal.
Oh.
Okay. I guess you are alone
now,
in that panel.
Now y'all want to leave me hanging. Okay.
Well, sometimes the jokes just write themselves.
Because if he let you write it, just saying.
All right, man.
All right.
Whatever.
There you
How's
go.
Kate Upton, you seen any latest photos from Kate Upton? Was she in them this time?
Yeah, I'm back.
I caught that one. Oh, hey, here he is. Big Sexy, you missed a declaration by Aunt Pooh.
I knew it was Aunt Pooh.
Yeah,
what do you do now?
Hey, Aunt, I'll let you tell it, Aunt. I don't want to put words in your mouth.
No, that's
cool. Pause.
Pause. Go ahead, Aunt.
You finally come out? What?
Finally.
Let's leave that alone. Let's leave him alone. Let's let it go. Let it go.
All right.
Let it go.
Slip of the tongue.
Pause.
Oh.
All right. Let's get it. Let's literally get off of Aunt Pooh. And let's go on. We're equal opportunity and we love everything. All right, we got some interesting topics today. First one I want to start out, I've been seeing this on Facebook. Vanilla Ice to perform at the BET Selma anniversary concert. And I see a lot of people have a problem with that. I actually don't. I'm going to read a little bit here from Rolling Stone. It says BET has put together a 3-hour concert to commemorate the 50th anniversary of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s historic voting rights march in Selma, Alabama. It takes place this Sunday. Scheduled appearances by Bill Weathers. Wow. How do you go? You go Bill Weathers and Rick Ross, among others.
Really?
Really.
Oh, shit.
But it's one name in particular that has drawn scrutiny. Vanilla Rick Ross. Ice. Right. The president of BET Event Productions, Braxton Baker, who helped select the Salute Selma lineup with Harry Belafonte, recently explained the surprising booking to AL.com, which described the Ice Ice Baby rapper as, quote, not the type of artist one would expect to perform at a concert celebrating one of the seminal moments in American civil rights movement. Personally, I don't see Rick Ross being the type of artist that would be in that sort of situation, but that's me. Well, because of the stuff he talks about.
Yeah.
Quote, it says Vanilla Ice was in the Soul Train Awards 2 years ago, and he is a really cool person, Baker said. When we call him for things, he likes working with us, and we like working with him. He's one of the people we call to participate in things with us, and if he can do it, he absolutely will. I sent him a text, and within 2 minutes, his response was, I'm in. Apparently, Vanilla Ice will perform one of his own songs, and it's easy to speculate which one he'll perform, alongside in an updated version of the 1989 single Self-Destruction, the anthem for the Stop the Violence movement led by KRS-One. Joining him will also be Rick Ross, Bell Biv DeVoe, Flavor Flav, Dougie Fresh, MC Light, D Nice, and others who have not yet been announced. Does anyone have a problem with Robert Van Winkle, a.k.a. Vanilla Ice, being a part of the BET Selma anniversary concert?
Not at all.
I guess Snow wasn't available.
Hey, man.
Oh, my.
Third base. They were busy.
Why did they ask him to perform? What's the connection?
They said. An article. But I think it's weird. I don't necessarily have a problem with it. I just think that it's kind of odd. And
it's random. Of course,
we know the song that he's going to do, and I don't know. I just think it's weird. There we go.
No more weird than Rick fucking Ross.
Yeah, BBD.
Yeah.
Which I like, but I mean, they're not. Anybody really caring about them either. Like, I hope it ain't a racial thing because, again, as we know, it wasn't just black people marching across that bridge.
Adam Ant was on Motown 25 for no reason.
Oh, interesting. Forgot about that. Goody, goody, two shoes.
Don't drink, don't smoke.
Yeah. I mean, I don't, you know what? He's a part of rap, love it or hate it. I mean, he has his one hit, you know.
And that sold millions of copies.
He did his thing. He's a part of rap. He's a part of the generation. And, you know, Martin Luther King's dream is that everybody comes together. Why shouldn't he be up there?
Yeah.
You know? Exactly.
I have more problem with Rick Ross being up there just because of the subject matter, you know, the coke, talking about doing coke and all this kind of stuff. That, to me, flies in the face of advancement of black people, but.
And he may take his shirt off.
And don't forget, Ice Ice Baby is the song that built Death Row.
Well, yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's a problem. What do you think, Ampu? You're very quiet over there, sir.
I don't particularly care. I mean, it's BET. Like, are we really expecting BET to advance the race in 2015?
He's got a point there.
Right.
It's like when you when a ratchet act ratchet, come on. Yeah, it's what you expect.
There you go. All right. Let's see here.
I was going to not do this with this because now I'm not in the mood to talk about this as I was when I was reading it. It was one of those late night looking up news articles. But one of somebody's idol, Corinne Stephens, if I'm saying her name, a.k.a. Superhead.
Oh, Jesus.
Is she still alive? Damn.
Well, apparently so. And she pretty much let it be known that she has no qualms of, you know, the things that she's done and what she will do. She seems to always kind of surface in the news every once in a while. She'll get into it with somebody on social media. I think the new thing, she's somewhat going back and forth with Christina Milian over Lil Wayne, apparently. And she went in. I just think it's a she takes a stand, and I always kind of support people when they take stands. I may not necessarily agree with the stands, but at least they're standing on something. This is funny to me. She goes on to a rant, and I'm going to read a little bit what she says. She says, "I'm a woman, and I can suck as many dicks as I want, just as men can suck as many pussies and asses as they want. And believe me, they do. I'm 36.
Oh, this one.
I'm 36 years old. You can't slut shame me, bruh. Try that shit with some young girl who doesn't know her worth is not directly correlated to her familiarity with penises. Wow. And even then, don't fucking do it. You've got all these men out here taking dicks on Monday, snatching pussies on Tuesday, sucking anybody's ass on Wednesday, and then licking their beasties nuts on Thursday. Beating their wife on a Friday.
Let me ask my 8-year-old to leave the room.
I'm sorry, sir.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
She's running it down. All right, and then beating their wife on a Friday, and then raping women on a Saturday.
Wow.
And then praising the Lord on Sunday, and you want to shame a woman for having sex? She added, "Get the complete fuck out of here. And if and when I am single again, if I want to have sex like a grown-up, I will. And trust and believe there will be sucking. From both parties. And I have a strap-on named Pinky."
Oh. This is where we went left.
And ask my ex-husbands. I will make a straight man love dick in a heartbeat, and I'm not ashamed of any of it. I'm a woman, and I cannot be broken. Especially not over some dick, child. Now bend over and open up.
Thank God.
End quote. That's right, me, goddammit.
She's the real MVP.
She
huh?
told that's now that's that's cookie. That's
wait,
cookie.
Hold up. Okay, that's Mike, the real I need cookie. You, I need you to clarify which part are you clapping for?
All of it, goddammit.
Okay.
Whoa. Stop the bus.
Wow.
If you're gonna go that way, then you're going that way. She's talking about a lifestyle I know nothing about. But she's standing on her convictions. And hey, she said Mike, you can't slut shame me. She's a hoe. She says men are doing it just as much, if not more. She named it 5 days out, seven days out the week what men are doing. So, man, she's hey.
Who is this woman? I mean, Superhead. What does she do?
Now, to be fair,
well, what she does.
But to be fair, at 36.
Okay.
To be fair, at 36 years of age, she still do look fine in a motherfucker. I ain't gonna even lie on that.
Yeah, she look good. It was Superhead. She's famous for, she had put out a book a few years ago. It was a tell-all book. She was a video vixen. That's actually what she called herself. And she talked about in the book how she went through a lot of the popular rappers and entertainers in the industry. And she was very explicit. And she was naming names. And she's a very,
Jay-Z.
She's a very controversial sort of figure in that world. And I think she's had two more books that have come out. Do some of my research. There, I have seen that there is a video of her and Mr. Marcus. I've heard of this guy before.
Uh-oh.
What was that, Q?
Oh, I think I do know of that video. Yes.
Oh, okay. So, yeah.
I'm a man up. I've seen the video. I mean, her sexing skills were whack, but she ain't lying about them head skills. That was some, whoa.
Well, let's just say there was a part one and a part two rematch. And she won both of them.
Yes, I will confirm. Nothing to play with. I actually read her book years ago.
Exactly.
I thought the book was very interesting. I've seen her before on different things. She was a very classic interview with Jamie Foxx on the Foxhole one year. Actually made the Foxhole very popular because of when she came on there. And she is ruthless. I was saying Cookie, but literally, if you actually was to hear her speak, she sounds like she would fit on this show for the right and the wrong reasons, because she will go in on you, and she is a fool. No, I mean, I'm not talking about that. She was going in on Jamie and all them comedians, and she was toe-to-toe shutting people down, and she's crazy. She's very crazy.
She was talking about Jamie on the show?
They were going in on each other about all this type of stuff. They even called somebody on the phone. I think they called Big Tigger, and she was blasting Big Tigger about some bloody situation. She's talking about, she has a thing called Pinky, and she talk about who she's been using that on.
Please say it. So,
well, it's on. You look it up on YouTube. It's on there. But she's hilarious to me, because she has no, you know, she's upfront about all this stuff, and she'll out everybody, which is snitching. But so anyway, yeah, there you go.
Hey Mike, I gotta bail. This is a horrible time for me to jump off. But
you're not okay now. It kind of sounds a little suspect over there. But. You gotta go. You gotta go, man. Handle that. Handle it. Handle it.
You said I gotta go get the lotion.
Wow. Hey, man. You're grown.
Damn.
Yeah.
Damn.
Get the lotion. All right. Nah. My wife is home.
Oh, that's even better, right? Now, don't hurt her now.
She told you ain't supposed to be talking with your friends, huh? That was going on.
That's wait, Ethan. I gotta go.
All right, sir.
Excuse me while I whip this up.
Okay, we'll see you next time, sir.
All right, cool.
All right, let's get off of Superhead.
My thing is one of her ex-husbands is Eddie Winslow from Family Matters. And I'm just like, damn, dude, she putting you out there, homie.
Which one's Eddie Winslow? Is that the son?
Yeah, the oldest boy, yeah.
Damn.
Oh, Marcus whatever's?
Darius McCray.
Yeah.
Oh, Darius. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just like, ooh, okay. The best thing you can do is just don't reply, homie. Just don't reply. Because I know you're going to come with some ignorant stuff, and she going to have to respond with throwing everything out there.
I'm putting no pictures out on you now.
Don't nothing shut anybody down than the truth.
Yeah.
You can say whatever you want, but when the truth hits, bam. There's nothing you can do to rebut that.
Interesting. Yeah, well, there you go. So definitely shout out to Superhead. She's representing herself. All right. Moving on. This is a list I want to get into. It kind of goes into how the show started. 5 ways to piss off an old school hip hop head.
Yeah. That one, not liking Rakim.
That's one, definitely.
That'll do it.
So number one here says, my generation is doper than the 90s. Says the main, and I'm reading from All Hip Hop. The main thing old heads take issue with the present day of rap is that it ain't like the good old days. Most forget that there was a plethora of garbage floating around the hip hop universe at every turn. And make no mistake, each era tends to like their own era. So Buck, don't you ever think about saying Drake is better than Dre or Jay, unless you want a real serious argument on your hands. Does anybody think that today's hip hop is better?
No.
Hell no.
Or 80s? No.
Hell no. Everything
crap.
Is too homogenized through the corporate structure in order to mass produce money. So it all sounds alike. Everything got to be trapped. Now everybody talking in that. Everybody talking like this. And I'm tired of this.
I have so not gotten on the board on that whole style. I hear it every once in a while when I watch these little Vine videos.
Doing it.
That shit is horrible.
Yes.
Yes.
It's worse than Auto-Tune.
Auto-Tune.
Auto-Tune?
Auto-Tune.
While we kind of, I nominate the Low End Theory for our next classic joint review, if I may be so inclined.
Ah, okay.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Q-Tip. All right.
But anyway,
never heard it.
Whoa.
Well,
you should listen to it.
I can listen.
You definitely can listen.
Please do.
Number two, and this is one that I don't even, it doesn't even bother me because I don't see it, but On Fleek.
Oh, I'm tired of that too.
On Fleek.
I never say it.
You said that before?
No, I said I never say it. It's stupid.
I think anybody over the age of 25 should not be, well, age of 30 should not be saying that word. It should not be your vocabulary.
Now playing the role of Big Sexy as Hill Street Views, I don't know what that word is.
You beat me to it because I got no clue.
Can anybody use that in a sentence?
Superhead skills are on fleek.
So like on so point?
On point?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
what is the phrase fleek? Where's the genesis of that word?
Here, I'm going to look it up here.
I bet you some trap music. Bet you.
It comes from Fleetwood Mac. Duh.
Hey, I love rumors, okay?
I'm looking at the Urban Dictionary. The way Hispanic people say the word flick, I don't know, it says flick being fresh, on point, cool. Unknown, a word used only in a Vine video that recently appeared. It has something to do with eyebrows. Scientists are still researching the strange word in an attempt to find its meaning.
I'm like, scientists? All right.
I have seen it referred to eyebrows a lot. I will contest to that. I've seen that.
So it sounds like some bullshit.
Luke and him are still researching to try to find it
out.
Well, if you follow Taz's Angel, they've co-opted it to nipples on fleek.
I would say I've seen that before, but that would not be probably something I want to admit to. But yeah.
Well, you've already done it.
Yeah. I know. Number three, it says, who is, and then fill in the blank with the legend. So somebody said, oh, who's Rakim, or who is he, Q-Tip?
KRS-One? Come on now.
It says, please, you may not care, Young Buck, and to some extent that is okay. However, it is best to know who the hell the legends are in the culture of hip hop. I agree.
Isn't that the whole Q-Tip beef with Iggy? Wasn't that one thing he went into about not knowing who people were? Did I remember that right?
Sort of touch on that a little bit. Yeah, kind of knowing your history. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah,
but
I
you
mean,
can say that in any walk of life. A lot of times, I know several years ago, a lot of baseball players were catching hell for not knowing about the Negro Leagues, and a lot of basketball players, you know, catching heat for not knowing who Elgin Baylor was.
Right.
So it's like, yeah, you gotta know who you run with, man. Know who paved the way for you guys.
Exactly. Oh, I agree.
It's true. Yeah.
It's I think it is important. Sometimes I think we talked about this, but there seems to be a lack of respect to the legends, particularly when you get to rap and hip hop. You know, the older groups just not really held to the high regards I think sometimes it should be.
Yeah. I agree 100%.
Yeah.
All right. Number four is Gay Like Hip Hop.
What?
It says, in the mainstream of rap culture, there has been more and more rappers with a penchant for traditional female tendencies. Back in their day, it was okay for acts like TLC and Boss to take their fashion cues from men. With Young Thug, Daylight, and a few choice others, they have flirted with gender bending in rap, which to the chagrin of your average
chagrin,
you're right, to the chagrin of your average old head. This is a very this could be a controversial one, but I can say as what I know hip hop to be from my perspective,
that ain't it.
Yeah, gays in hip hop are probably, it would be a harder sale to older dudes than it would be probably to today's world. Not to say that's right, but from old head's perspective, I can see that it's not what we're used to in hip hop.
Yeah, now we've got Empire.
But, yeah,
men loving men, whatever he said.
No, you got Lil Wayne and Birdman. You know, they had kissed a couple times and stuff.
I'm sorry. Whoa.
Oh yeah, they did do that.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
But, you know, back in the days, that never, it would have been over. But you know, today's world, gotta let that ride.
Hey, yeah, whatever, man.
Number five, the belief that any rapper is real today. The OGs may OD on love, often mistranslated as hate, for current rap music. But a lot of that is because their era was before the culture was overrun with money and corporate interests. These older heads have a point. You could do like Suge, Just Ice, or Tretch, and there was no TMZ, hip hop police, or social media to blow up the spot. The real stayed in the streets. The crazy thing is, a lot of the young boys want to earn their stripes or are simply living the life, and the results are disastrous. Just look at the incarceration rate of the last few years. Anyway, yeah. That's kind of a weird one, what they're saying there, but I guess, are we supposed to think that a lot of these rappers really are out here doing dirt? Maybe they are. You have the Chief Keefs and was it Bobby Shmurda currently locked up?
Okay, yep. I'm going to go ahead and say, in all seriousness, Chief Keef is a real person?
Very much.
Far out.
Sadly, yes.
How can anyone take him seriously calling himself Chief Keef?
And further, he's procreated.
Oh, Lord.
He's like a real young dude, isn't he? Like,
I hope so. I hope it's some old man.
12 or 13 Keef. Or something? I don't
know. Is that like Smith? I can't stand that shit.
It's like who? Yeah.
I remember a while ago somebody was calling himself something Smith, S-M-I-F-F. I'm like, really? Hmm. Just use your damn name. Keef. But I digress. I digress.
I mean, yeah, because you had. Well, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Sean.
No, I was going to say, in this day and age, I would hope the whole. I mean, again, I'm kind of aging myself here, but is keeping it real still a mantra? Is that something that?
I think it's called keeping it 100 nowadays.
Yeah.
Oh, so keeping it 100. Okay. Well, is keeping it 100 still a thing in hip hop? Well, I think people at this point should probably know that dudes they're hearing on records are not doing what they say they're doing on record. Like Dre said, living at what you say on record, all entertainment, it's their job. That's what, Arnold Schwarzenegger ain't shooting up police stations on his day off, right?
But Arnold Schwarzenegger ain't walking around as the T-1000.
I think the point of this part here is to say that some of these rappers are actually doing it real today, which is a problem.
Oh, really?
As opposed to like an Ice Cube or, those guys talking big shit on records, but he's definitely not gangbanging. But you have shit, even R&B artists, right? You have Chris Brown
he ain't shit.
Well, I'm just saying, but he's involved in a lot of shootings at his concerts. He's beating women. He's going to jail. You have these artists actually out there doing dumb stuff, which they probably should just leave it on record. But they seem to want to engage in it in real life, which is the problem.
Oh, how far we've come.
Mm. Oh yes. Oh yes.
So yeah, that was the five ways to piss off old. We brought up Suge in this. I'm actually reading this book right now. I have to pull it up on my Kindle through the title. But it's a woman who is the baby mama, or was a baby mama, of Suge Knight. And she wrote this, some of one of these tell all books. And I'm kind of fascinated. I've been reading this. I'm almost finished it. I started the other day. It's just a crazy story, man. She starts out right with Suge. She was a young girl when she met him. I don't think she was even 18 at the time. And it was just right when Snoop Dogg's album was about to come out. And it basically just talks about how she was the side piece because he actually was married to another woman. And then he started messing with her. And she turned 18 or whatever, and they go around the world, and she sees all of the stuff that's happening, and they have babies together, and he's going to prison. It's a very interesting story from a admitted ratchet, self-confessed sort of ratchet, but, she talks about how she was young, and she grows up in this life, and she's around. She stays in the best of everything because, at this time, Suge Knight was rich as fuck. Like, anything you wanted, you could have. And of course, she's the side piece. And it's just very interesting, man. I was watching, and he has kids and stuff, and they have kids together, and the things that end up happening because of all his situations. A very interesting read. I'll find the title before the show's over. But yeah, I've been reading this book about Shug, man. It's very interesting. Interesting dude, man. It's funny when you say it's a guy. It's basically when a guy has a lot of power and money, and he's from the streets. And what happens? You know, what happens to that guy, and how he changes, and how money changes everybody around him, and everybody's got to get a piece. And you know, you have the Tupacs come into the picture, and these different people, and the Dres and stuff. Very interesting story.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that, and kind of segue just a little bit, but the unsungs that are on, or even the behind the musics, it's always the same thing. What always drives apart groups, or even you know, successful artists? Money. It's always money.
Yes, it is.
You know. Mm-hmm. They get it and don't know how to deal with it. They get this check that they've never seen before, and you know, they want to, you know, take care of their entourage. I don't know if you guys have seen. They're actually doing on TV One now. They've got Unsung Hollywood, and they aired an episode on Red Fox, which was kind of interesting. I don't think that he's unsung, but whatever. I still have a problem with some of the people they select, but. One of the things with him, it was the same thing. When Sanford and Son was at his peak, he had all these hanger-oners, you know, and it's known that, you know, he was bringing in people from his, you know, from his chicken circuit days to, you know, to play some of the, you know, some of his friends or whatever. But at the same time, and Big Sexy, you probably can speak on this a little bit. He was being stupid with the IRS. He was like, he said, if they pay me in cash, the IRS won't know, and so I won't have to pay taxes. And
yeah, it doesn't work like, quite like that.
It doesn't quite work like that. But yeah. So catch that episode if you can. They're also doing one on Richard Roundtree. Someone I can't remember who the other person is, but like I said, that just it's just that common denominator, money. You know, especially with groups. You know, there's always the one person who feels they should be getting paid more, and then there's the one person that is getting paid more and feels the other people are getting paid the right amount. And
right. Yeah.
It happens in every walk of life. I watched the documentary about the Eagles. It's like a 3-hour piece, and it's really, really well done.
I've heard about that, yeah.
You know, and I was not an Eagles fan when I watched it at all, but there's this one point where they did the Hell Freezes Over tour, and Glenn Frey and Don Henley said, look, we'll do it, but we're getting more money than the rest of these guys because we do all the fucking work. I'm like, well, okay. So it was not a five-way split by any stretch of the imagination. And the same thing when Kiss did their reunion tour. Gene and Paul said, look, we never quit the band. We were never kicked out of the band. So you're not going to get what we get on this tour.
Like, well, that makes sense.
Makes sense too, yeah.
I found the book is called My Life with the Night. The woman behind the most feared man in hip hop, her name is Stormy Ramdam. And if you have Kindle Unlimited, you can read it for free because that's how I'm reading it.
I would bet that's not her given name.
I think it is actually.
Really? Okay. I don't know about
from the streets, so they're gonna have these kind of names sometimes. Her son's name, given name, is Lil Shug. So.
Oh God.
It was?
Really?
Yeah, really.
Oh my lord!
Again, this is okay. What culture, what world are we dealing with? We're dealing with gangster, you know, South Central.
We're dealing with Anthem's world.
Very, very, a lot of money, and don't have to be accountable for nothing. So
where is Anthem?
Real quiet, didn't he?
Yeah, Anthem left that one slide.
I think it's
I know. Oh, it is what it is. It ain't what it ain't. And I'm more than comfortable where I'm from, homie.
All right.
You could have survived. Blood. You could have come down to my world and live in it. You could have survived, sir.
All right, blood.
Who are you talking to?
You are sensitive.
No, that was the joke. That was Mike Tyson's quote.
Oh, okay.
I grew up in Oakland. I can go anywhere I want and survive, so it's cool.
I know this isn't maybe a this is what
but
we
you
do
want
topic,
what is real.
Why what?
Here we go.
And that works. And I'm sorry, Mr. Dean, were you done with Suge? Because I was just wanting to bring something up real quick that may or may not be. The upcoming announcement of the Hit and Run tours. Are we excited? Are we not excited? Are we...
You're talking about Prince?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, I'll get back to you when I find out what them ticket prices.
I know, right?
You know, that's honestly, that's how I feel about it. I'm like,
wow.
But hey, Pooh, you got me if I come up, if I roll up, if it's up in L.A.?
I got you. Like, you mean if I comp and pay for you?
No, fool.
Black folks, we got to know for sure what you're talking about.
Again, I need to know what the ticket prices be.
As far as hanging out, as far as...
Oh, know, okay. Oh, yeah. Most of that.
My people. Boy, the black girls these days.
You know, on this topic, me and Q got into it a little bit on Facebook.
Oh,
on
this, I saw very, that.
This very issue. Q and another woman whose name is escaping me now made the premise of why can't Prince have more women of color in his band?
Oh, yeah. Man, shout out to my girl Tamika.
Tamika, what's up, girl? But it's like, you know, my thing is, if they can play, who gives a damn?
I feel the same.
You know, and of course, Q, me and Q would let it go. And we got into it, but I just got to him and said, look, why is it a problem for you, man? And he has not responded yet. I'm kind of disappointed. You know, and the thing is, he's had all sorts of people in his band. Some stay long, some don't stay very long at all. The two that immediately popped to mind are Kat Dyson. She didn't stay very long, and she was a black woman.
And that band was all black, too.
Yes, it was. And the keyboardist, Rad, was there for, like, the musicology video and was gone. And she was a little Asian woman, and she couldn't hang. You know, and the thing with Prince's band is, no matter who you are and what color or gender you are, you have to play. If you can't play with him and keep up, you got to go.
And I was mistaken. That was Regina Gray. Oh. Shout out to her. Well,
what's everybody's threshold? What's everybody's ticket? What's the price that will make you say delete?
Well, I wanted to go back to what he was saying about the race thing real quick.
Oh, sorry.
I can see the viewpoint that she made. I understand why she said what she said. But I agree also with Big Sexy. But I think that there's a part of Prince that is playing racial games a little bit. I mean, he did that back in the day. There are talented musician, female musicians, period. But I think he's playing a racial game and a gender game. I don't necessarily have a problem with it because it's his band to do it the way he wants to.
Exactly.
But this is how I look at it though. I want him to have the dopest band. I don't want him to play no games. I don't care about the all-girl band. I don't care about the all-white-girl band or all-black-girl band. I want the dopest people on deck on fleek. So
that was a good usage, sir.
I do not know what you're speaking of. So.
But that's my issue. Like, I think he is sacrificing having the best band he possibly can because he wants to have some sort of concept. Which is more of a problem than it being, how come there's no sisters up there or whatever? Because I don't think the people that he has in his band right now are the best that should be playing with Prince. And that's no slight to their talent, but we've seen the caliber of bands that he's had before, and that ain't it.
Well, but like you said, he's going for a concept here. So if that's what he's trying to do, that's fine. But are they like NPG backing band good? No. Not at all.
And I think he's done it too long. I think it's like, oh, we've done. I think he's done everything he can do with this band at this point, in my opinion. Like,
I agree.
They don't do anything different. He got a little keyboard dude in there now, but I mean, why can't you just have a real band at this point? I mean, you've had the rock dance, cool. But that's just my thing. But in terms of go ahead.
I was going to say, there's a possibility that, and I cannot remember her name, the girl that sings on Clouds. I mean, it's a possibility she might have an expanded role in, you know, in this particular tour. We don't know.
But that wouldn't even be enough for me. I'm just saying.
I mean, that would alleviate the no black female in the band group if she's a part and has some sort of expanded role.
What do you think, Crystal?
About just what him
What
do you think about Third Eye Girl in terms of sort of racial or even just in terms of the band quality?
Oh, well, honestly, I mean, it doesn't bother me at all. I mean, as long as they can play, you know, that's all that matters to me. Is the music is good, if the output is good, then why does it matter, like, what, you know, what they look like or anything like that, as long as the music is good.
All right. You feel like this band is good? I mean, you know, in terms of
I've heard better, but they're not terrible.
Okay. I mean, I think we're judging them. I think it's kind of harsh to judge them against their predecessors. When, I mean, like you said, you can put the Revolution and the Sign of the Times band up against, I would say, any rock group, any band throughout the history of the 20th century. That's all, especially the Sign of the Times band.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's kind of harsh to say they're not as good as that band. I mean, who would you put up against them?
I'm not saying they're not as good as the past bands. I'm saying the caliber of what I expect from Prince, it's not on that level to me. Like, and to me, Prince would have the Vanguard level quality of band. I'm talking about D'Angelo's band. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, they need to be able to do the Prince shit as we know it to be, and they can flip into the rocks if they need to. But it needs to be some horn dudes. It needs to be some keyboards up there. You know what I mean? Like, these guys that he got now, they're talented. They're dope. Don't get me wrong. But they're not on that Prince level I expect. Like, if I go to see a stadium tour, a real tour, I need to hear all this shit.
No, see, I don't
that's
think
me.
Third Eye Girl. I don't think Third Eye Girl is arena,
no,
stadium.
No.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
But, but I think for what, where he's at now, what he wants to do right now, I think they're fine. I think they're service. That's,
but
probably,
see,
not the right word.
I'm just going to jump in.
I was
going to
say service to him.
But they're not, because they can't do anything properly of artificial age. And that's where Prince is to me right now.
I disagree. I think
I haven't heard him play none of them songs where I was like, "Daddy,
exactly.
I killed that."
They're doing what he's asking them to do.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying he's not representing what he's putting out right now.
No,
they can't play those songs, and that's a problem for me. Like, I need a band that's going to really represent the material he's putting out.
But maybe he doesn't want to represent that material.
You know how he
don't put it out, man.
Well, for me, I think since they've been touring with since 2012. Am I correct?
Off and on.
Yeah.
And they're essentially doing the same show.
Yeah.
The only reason I would say change the band up is the fact that I want a different concert experience.
Yeah.
It's like I've only been to two, which is, I know this is egregious on my part. Hey, you know, some of us weren't lawyers and whatnot buying Escalades and whatnot. Our money wasn't that long back in the day. So
you better wear those tight. You better wear them tight jeans. You say.
No.
You
want those.
I'm sorry. I wanted to finish it up. So I've seen the Welcome to America band / Musicology band, and now the Third Eye Girl band, and those were two different type of concerts. It was two different type of takes on some of the songs. So if I go to another concert, I really don't want the same set list, and I don't want to hear the songs played the same way. I would like a change up. You know, maybe we get the horns up in there, and maybe he brings the keys back. Exactly. I don't want the same concert I saw back in 2013 when he did the Live Out Loud tour.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. And the thing is, a lot of the bands, you know, that we're talking about, you know, there are some bands that I would not pay money to see. And that's not saying they're not good, but the band that he had, it was like post musicology, the band that's on the live box set. Pass.
Yeah.
No, I thought
they were too jazzy for me, you know, with Renato and all that stuff. No.
I thought that too. I recently just listened to that box set the other day in the car. I was kind of blown away a little bit. I was like, I need to actually go back and really pay attention to this, because when they do the Rainbow Children stuff,
they hold that down.
That shit was filthy, man.
Well, you said maybe because I just hadn't heard it.
Yeah, maybe because I hadn't heard it in so long.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about the Indigo Nights. The One Night Alone band was great. The One Night Alone band was great.
Yeah.
That was before musicology.
Oh, you're right.
True.
Yeah,
true. You're right.
And getting back to my question, what's everybody's threshold? Well, like I said, what's the point would make you say delete when you putting them tickets in the shopping cart?
If it's Third Eye Girl, my threshold is 100. If it's another band, 175.
Well, it depends on their place they're playing for me.
Yeah, the venues.
Yeah. If they're playing the same place they played last time they was here, I couldn't afford it last time, but I could afford it now. I would go.
Oh, you gotta like that. Go ahead, play.
I would go.
Go ahead. Oh, no, so no threshold. Go ahead, play.
Well, it depends. If it's $800 or something, no.
Well,
so I guess but I'm saying two. I think they were $250 last time.
Yeah, that was my total threshold. Remember, I'm always buying for two, and when they came here to San Diego, I was all set. I had my computer ready, my credit card ready, and I was like, $250 is the max that I can pay. And so like 10 o'clock comes, I'm on the site. Oh, tickets. And they didn't even have the ticket price. It just said two. All right, two tickets in the thing. And then go to checkout, $500, delete, controller, unplug, let me wipe the hard drive, let me make sure this.
Turn off the router.
Yeah. Disconnect the Wi-Fi,
I would imagine they're probably going to be expensive this time, too.
It's like Ann said, if it's the same show that we saw 3 years ago, pass.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't want to see the same.
Not for that same.
Well, when they were in San Diego, it was basically Live Out Loud, and it was $250, and that was it. There were no, nosebleed or anything like that.
Well, I guess you're gonna be mad at me, Sean, because up the road at Anaheim where they did Live Out Loud tour, it was only $200, so it was a little $50 bucks. But
that still would have been
that's $400.
But he did a show, like a show out of nowhere, I want to say last year. I think it was 2013 or last year. He did a show in Hollywood, and the ticket, same band, Third Eye Girl, and he did it for $100 at the Pantages. I want to say it was a Pantages. No, it wasn't Pantages. Well, one of those. He did it here in Hollywood, and the ticket was $100. I'm like, all right, fine. I would go to a $100 Third Eye Girl tour show, but. Anything more than that? Nah, homie. You don't keep that. I got to hear what you performing before I give you more than $100 for Third Eye Girl again.
Yeah. Yeah, I think $150 a pop for me is probably going to be my threshold.
See, I say all this, but I know if I'm like, I hear Prince is going to be in Seattle and I'm not there, that's a problem for me. Like, I just I have to. There's some way I got to be up in that camp. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, when he was in San Diego and I wasn't there, I was heartbroken that I couldn't go. But there was just no way on God's green earth that I could have made that. Well, let's put it this way. I could have gone, and then the next week the lights would have been out. Water.
Right.
Palmer would have been like, Daddy, I can't do my homework. It's dark. Sorry, we had to go see Prince.
I had to go see Prince.
Say, what you need book learning
you
for?
Got you priorities.
So my thing is, do you think this would be intimate clubs, or are we gonna get some arenas? Which
we're not getting arenas with Third Eye Girl.
You can't get an arena really with, I think, last minute type shit anyway.
No, you can't.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
See, for me, I'm at the point where I prefer the club show anyway. away from the knuckleheads. I mean, if we can do something for the hardcores, let's go. I'm all about that.
Well, but wasn't the 86 Hit and Run tours, wasn't those some arenas? I know he did Cabo for the birthday.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, but we talking 86.
Yeah, it was a different time, man.
He did what for the birthday, Anthony?
Did he do Cabo?
Cobo. You're killing me, man.
I mean, he was at the top of his game. He could do some shit like that at that point, but yeah, he ain't that. That's a different game now, man.
All right, I got to step off. Mom's just calling me. I'm probably in trouble. So let me give her the keys to the ride and send her back to Oakland.
All right, sir.
Speak to you guys.
Just blame Aunt Pooh.
Don't think I won't. I'm not going down by myself.
All right, man. Have a good one. Thank you.
All right, guys. And hi, lovely lady.
All right.
So my thing is why isn't he just doing an arena tour? I know. Say what you will. I think if Prince did a 30 city arena tour, even if it is with this band, he could get 10 to 15,000.
Yeah, but there's more planning. I think more logistics involved. Yeah.
And money probably got to be right for him. Who is there a promoter? Who is it? Who's going to bankroll probably what he wants for a situation like that? Right, arena tour is very expensive.
Yeah, I have no idea how that goes. So
He's talking to the wrong person there.
Like, usually he works with Live Nation. Maybe they don't feel like he's hot enough, or, I mean, maybe he might not want to commit either to that kind of time where, okay, we need you to do 3 months or something. Maybe you don't want to do that. You know, it could be all kind of stuff, man.
Well, we'll see. We will see. Hopefully he gives us a different set list and gives us a different take on these songs.
You know, the thing I say about Prince, I don't say it's lazy, but he has sort of settled into a thing where I don't think he wants to do the investment that a big tour would be. I think it's easier for him and probably just make the quicker money to say, fuck it, I'll do my own production. I don't have to hire some big company and tote all these trucks and shit all over the country. We're just going to have me, you know, the girls, very minimal set, you know, in terms of stage production. And we can just deal with these clubs one-on-one. So if I want to go to L.A., okay, we can hit up this city, that city, and I can just go in there and command top dollar, and I ain't got a big overhead. Like, when he came to Seattle, he did two nights, and I believe he did two shows per night. Each was $250 for each one. It was all sold out. So I know he made a lot of money, and it wasn't a lot of overhead for him. It was a small place. It was in Seattle where he can charge all that fucking money. So I think he's doing these types of shows because he can just get a lot of money, and it's less overhead. He doesn't have to pay a lot of people. He doesn't have to be on a schedule. Obviously, you don't want to be on a schedule. Just fuck out. Let's go over there. Feel like doing that. You know, he doesn't have to be beholden to nothing. And he says they're only going to announce it maybe a day or two before, you know, tickets. So I feel like he probably doesn't want to do the big tour. He doesn't have to rehearse a band for months, right, which is costly, and create a show, have a sound stage, and have the technicians and all these semi-trucks and all this kind of shit. I don't think he wants to do that.
Well, here's a question I have. And I understand that, you know, Prince isn't at his prime, isn't at his peak. But do you feel that it kind of hurts him, the fact that he's doing these intimate clubs that may, I mean, you figure 5,000 max at 200 a pop, that's what, 100,000 gate? Do you feel that it kind of diminishes Prince to be having to go out on the road for $100,000 gate?
No, I don't.
No, not at all.
Because he's doing it on his terms, I believe. I mean, I don't think anyone is forcing him to go out on the road. I mean, that's what he likes to do. With proper planning, with proper promotion, he could do, I believe, an arena tour like a musicology tour. But the way he's trying to do it now, I think someone said, I don't think that he could get the sellouts that he wants. So I don't think it hurts him at all. Like Mike was saying, these type of tours, low overhead, low cost, doesn't cost a lot to do, and, you know, $100, $200 a head, that's a lot of money going in your pocket.
Yeah, I mean, the Seattle thing, if I did the math right, he walked away with, is it $500,000? Is it $125,000 per show? He did four shows. I mean, that's some money.
Yeah, all right. We don't know what the profit margin was, but I'm just saying, because, you know, when I see Jay-Z and Beyonce doing what, I don't know, what, 40 shows, doing stadiums,
right?
And I'm just like, I know Prince is at that caliber that his name can get at least arena getting 15,000 to 20,000.
But would they sell out the arena? That's the question.
I think they would limit if he did a limited amount of dates. Yeah, if he
but
did
again. An arena show, you got to put on a show. You can't do the Third Eye Girls set. Well,
yeah, no.
In an arena, you got to put on a musicology. You got to put on a Love Sexy.
He's
got to
pull that stage out.
But I mean, you look at artists like Rush and Aerosmith. Do you think that they are putting on the type of shows that Prince can do at their age, and they're getting good attendance?
Yes, but they're not performing as regularly as Prince does, though.
Good point. Mm-hmm. That's just a thought out there.
Rush does his major. What was his last major tour? Was what? Was it?
It was
musicology,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he had the Welcome.
No, no, Welcome. Yeah, Welcome was the last. I think he was with Live Nation. Well, he was with the big, you know, big promotion. They bankrolled that tour. So he signed a deal with Live Nation. It was a big tour, arena show. That was the last one he did.
And that was New York, LA.
That was, you know, and that was, again, all these big shows always had some sort of, you know, big thing tied to it. I don't think he hasn't anything tied to it big. And there may not be, the other part of this could be too, that maybe Live Nation and these big companies don't see, maybe there's not a lot of money in it to them to pay him what he probably wants. So it'd be like, well, if I can't get anybody promoters to bankroll this thing, fuck it, I just go out on my own and get this money. And again, these hit and run tours, the whole point of it is he doesn't have to have all the big brouhaha and staff and carry all these people from, you know, city to city to do a show. I see a lot of this now because I actually work across the street from a place where they have concerts all the time. And I see all these massive giant trailers, flatbeds come, and then all the buses. It's a huge thing to put on a show. I remember when Jay-Z and Beyonce came here last year, and the guy was on the radio who runs the stadium, and he talked about, like, their production came like 3 days before the show, and it was like, logistically, it was, they had to shut down streets, and it was like they had like 20 buses and or semi trucks and all this stuff to get all that stage set up. And it was like it took millions of dollars to do that. So I imagine it's not a cheap thing to have these big shows.
But the thing was that to play Michael Dean here is the fact that Beyonce and Jay-Z, they had this over the top elaborate with escalators and a descending trampoline. It's ridiculous. If you've been to this show, ridiculous.
I know that, but that's what people want to see when they do arena shows. If you can't bring that type of production, it's not going to work. When Prince had his big contraption stage for the last, right, you know, the round stage, that's a huge big deal.
I don't think it's not at the level of Jay-Z and Beyonce. It's not at the level whatsoever.
No, it's not. But I'm saying is you still got to carry that and dismantle. You got to have at least, 20 people, 20, 30 people that are going to put that, take that down, take it up every night. You got to have all the semis that big thing goes to versus what he got right now. He probably got one truck if they have that. It's just the people driving. Well, you know, it's a smaller, way smaller situation. You don't have to have people doing the lights. And all that type of stuff.
They need, the 21 nights. Yeah, the 21 nights in L.A. I mean, you know, put that stage up one time, leave it up. Lights, you know. I mean, they had to take it down, I think, on Saturdays because they would have church. Would have Sundays, you know, and then, you know. I don't know
that's
why
that's crazy right there.
I know that just tickles me too. I'm sorry. We probably shouldn't be laughing. I apologize, Lord. But yeah,
that's hilarious. And then it's funny when you think about it because Prince is Jehovah's Witness.
Yeah,
they got in this Christian arena church setting.
But yeah, but that. But as far as like a little, you know, little intimate tour like that, no overhead.
Yeah, it doesn't have to have that. It doesn't have to have people standing there. You got to pay people, you know, do all this stuff. You just, hey, we show up, turn it, plug in our shit, we out. Gone to the next place. So I could imagine, it's probably a lot of money in it for him. Who knows what he's paying Third Eye Girl? He probably ain't got I'm probably not getting rich. Right? So.
And just so our listeners know, we will when we get info, we will put it up, we'll tweet it out, right, Aunt Pooh?
A1.
Okay, all right. I'm committing to for Aunt Pooh to put
signing you up.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to Ferguson. We're going back to Ferguson. It ain't over.
It ain't over.
The 7 racist emails the Justice Department highlighted in its report on Ferguson police. All right, here's a rundown of the emails. Number one, from November 2008, an email said President Obama won't be president for very long because, quote, what black man holds a steady job for 4 years?
That's kind of funny. I'm sorry. Put me on the train, but that's kind of funny.
Ooh, this is the police department clowning. They got jokes. They definitely got jokes. Number two is March 2010, an email mocked African Americans through a story involving child support. One line from the email said, quote, "I'd be so glad that this be my last child support payment. Month after month, year after year, all those payments. This be my." They're stupid. April 2011, an email depicted Obama as a chimpanzee. May of 2011, an email said an African American woman in New Orleans was admitted into the hospital for a pregnancy termination. 2 weeks later, she received a check for $5,000. She phoned the hospital to ask who it was from. The hospital said, "Crime Stoppers." That's fucked up.
That's messed up.
Damn. That's harsh, man. They going in. June 2011, an email described a man seeking to obtain welfare for his dogs because they were, quote, "mixed in color, unemployed, lazy, can't speak English, and have no freaking clue who their daddies are," end of quote. Number six, got real quiet. Number six, Black Lives Matter. October 2011, an email included a photo of a group of bare-chested women dancing, seemingly in Africa, with the caption, "Michelle Obama's high school reunion." Damn. They are wrong for that. Lastly, December 2011, an email included jokes that are based on offensive stereotypes about Muslims. Update on Wednesday afternoon, Ferguson Mayor James Knowles, no relation to Beyonce Knowles, said at a news conference that three people were placed on leave due to the racist emails. One of them has been fired, while two others are still under investigation. You guys have any thoughts about these emails coming out of the Ferguson police that were released by the Justice Department?
Yeah, this is what happens when we don't vote.
Well, I'm just surprised that they're all on. Only one was fired, so maybe that was the one that maybe instigated the emails. I don't know. Or I mean, why wasn't everyone that either forwarded it, I mean, not, you know, at least read it, got it, or I can understand, but why only one person fired? So in other words, they'll be back. So what's really the point of even putting them on leave if, you know, at some point once the news cycle finally, you know, leaves Ferguson again, those people will probably be back?
Well, I think they may be trying to see how the tide turns, right? How is public...
What I mean.
Yeah, what's the pressure going to be? Mm-hmm. Maybe they will have to fire them at some point, but at least we'll pull them for now and kind of see what happens.
Yeah, that's what I mean by the news cycle. You know, they just wait it out. We'll sit you over here. We'll give you, you know, a third of your check. Just chill. You know, there'll be something else. You know, like what was the Cube said? They'll have a new nigga next year. So we'll you know, just sit back and relax. We'll get you back in.
Well, yeah, I guess the Justice Department, they released, their report was that they concluded that the Department of Ferguson did engage in a pattern of practices that were discriminatory against people of color. A lot of stuff coming to light. Emails is out there.
Emails is a big thing.
When you got people in position of power, and particularly police, you know, that sort of mentality, them type of jokes are going to get you in a lot of trouble. Now, I can sit here and say some of that stuff is funny, but, you know, and I say it funny in the sense, like, if we said that to each other, we joke about these things a lot. It's basically right. Based on stereotypes.
Especially the first joke.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of stereotypical things, but I guess, you know, it gets into, it's not appropriate in the workplace, you know. Same would it be like it was sexual jokes and stuff. These aren't things that you would do on record, you know. So, and plus they're in a hotbed of, you know, situations going on down there right now in terms of part of the country. So, yeah, people gonna, oh, your name is attached? You're probably gonna be done. You know, they got the safe face. They got to do what they got to do, you know, and so it's crazy. Hopefully it makes some real change. I don't know. You can't really change people from thinking a certain thing or being prejudiced, but you can't bring that shit to your job.
I have a kind of a related back when I one of my jobs I had a friend of mine, she sent I won't say a racist email, but it had racial overtones, right? Sent it to a bunch of people, and then there were a few black people on the chain as well. And one of my friends, he wrote back. He just replied. He said, "Ha ha." That was it. That was all he said. And said that he got called into HR, mm-hmm. and they were like, "Look, we could fire you for this, but because we know you and we know, you know, you're not this way, we gonna let it slide. We gonna, you know, just give you that verbal, but." I mean, and like I said, all he said was ha ha. He deleted it and moved on. Didn't even think nothing else about it. I guess the point is that, you know, you got to be careful with that stuff. I know when I get emails like that, racist jokes or, you know, sexist jokes, you know, not to that extreme, but, you know, funny stuff like that, girls in bikinis, whatever. I just delete it. I delete it. I don't reply. I don't forward. Just delete it.
Dude, I hope none of your coworkers listen to the show because damn. You snitching on yourself.
Wow. No, I said another job. I'm not working at that place.
No, I'm talking about you said when I get these type of emails. Wow.
Well, I do. Yes, I delete them. So don't send them to me. get caught up.
Has anybody else here had any experiences where you got some funny kind of emails at work? Be questionable?
Nah, but I had to check this one guy of Asian descent because he got too quote unquote racial with the yeah what's up homies, or he'd make a joke about hip hop or something like that. I'm like, he's Korean, and you know, this is now before I got there was maybe I want to say 8 black people there, so he was hanging around. I guess they gave him the unofficial black pass, which we need to stop doing that. Nobody gives us a white or Asian or Latino pass. Stop giving people black passes. But anyway, so he would always make these hip-hop jokes, and I'm like, okay, yeah, man, chill. You know, and then he'd make another one like, all right, man, chill. You know, you and B over there, y'all cool, but, you know, don't bring that shit over to me. And then he said it one time, so I just pulled him over, and I gave him the elbow to the chest up against the wall.
Damn.
Yeah.
Physical confrontation.
I mean, you know, it's like he walked in, and then I just, you know, pushed him up against the wall, and I was like, "Look here, last time, I'm cool on all them hip hop jokes. I know you and B and L over there, y'all cool, y'all do that discussion, but don't bring that over to me. I see your subliminal slickery, so chill on that around me."
That is there's a lot of that going on nowadays. I will say that. And this happened a couple of days ago, and it's not a slight or anything. You may listen to this, but was a guy I work with, and he was like, check, baby, 1, 2. Oh, I was like, what do you know about? What are you talking? Oh, yeah. There's a thing now, for better or for worse, we wanted hip-hop and all this stuff to be out there, you know, and it's mainstream. And yeah, a generation of people who are grew up with that shit. So now when you're in corporate and different business worlds, that may be the sort of icebreaker for some people. They think that they can talk to you. So it's like, oh, ha ha. You know, 1, 2, 3 to the four. Snoop Dogg, huh? I always be like, huh? Oh, you know, Snoop Dogg and, huh? What the fuck you know about? Well, why are you coming at me with that? I don't know about that, man. Oh, you know, did you get the new, remember the Wu-Tang? Huh?
Oh, God.
Huh? What, you get that report done? Okay. Fuck out of here.
I'll never forget, I was a freshman in high school, and it was, I have nothing against my Asian people. Asian people, they pay pretty well, and they're really cool to be around. But it was this one Korean guy, we were listening to music in our science class, and somebody had the radio, and he was playing his stuff. And he wanted to listen to CMW. And, you know, me at the time, I'm like, who the fuck is CMW? I'm like, whatever. So the black dude was like, man,
fuck. Talking about Compton's Most Wanted?
Yeah, I know. I know that now. But I said, at the time, I did not. I wasn't aware. So the black dude was like, man, fuck out of here with CMW. I ain't trying to hear that shit. So then it got to me. It was like, yo, I want to listen to the CMW. I'm like, yeah, whatever. So he put it on that. He's like, yeah, thanks, home. Compton's Most Wanted. They dope. And I'm looking at him like, who the fuck is Compton's Most Wanted? And he looked at me like, what? You don't know about MC8 and all that? I'm like, no. It's like, I know about Ice Cube and Prince and Michael Jackson. You know, I'm just like, man, we ain't that cool like that. He's like, oh. I'm like, what the fuck you know about Compton?
She probably, well, I seen the movies.
I could say something really racist, but, you know, I'm trying to keep my reputation as is.
Bus stop now.
I like the self-editing. Could say something rather racist. What if they just said that on TV, like when they'd be on the news shows? Well, you know, I could say something really racist, but I'm not going to do it. I do want my career. Go ahead, Bill.
That'd be like one of the most keeping it real moments ever.
Yeah, it would. What was he going to say?
He's like, tweet us now, Ed.
That would be crazy. Let's see here. That anybody have anything they want to talk about?
There was something I came across. This might get a little heated.
Oh, Lord.
It might. I mean, depending on how Crystal, if she feels some type of way about it.
Yeah, let's do this.
Hot seat. I got cussed out by the writer, so it don't mean nothing to me. Okay. So this is on theroot.com on March 3rd. I guess that was Tuesday. I hope I'm butchering her name, but I really don't give a fuck because fuck her. Yesha Callahan. She wrote the top 6 things black women have that other women want. I was like, I saw this. It was tweeted out by Black Girl Nerds. Shout out to them. You know, they're dope, but, you know, I ain't got to like everything they tweet. And they ain't like everything I tweet, so whatever. So, I'm like, okay, let me go read this bullshit. So, yeah, I went in it with a jaded mind.
Yeah, you need to give it a chance.
Okay. Well,
just read them, nigga.
I need to do the preamble first. In the world of co-opted appropriation, Iggy Azalea and Kardashians, it seems as though, in the words of the great Paul Mooney, everyone wants to be a black woman until it's time to actually be a black woman. And I'm like, I'm like, so she said, number one, lips.
I see that now.
Number two, darker skin. Number three, ass.
Well,
number four.
Wow.
Now, keep in mind, this is top 6 things black women have that other women want. Number four was where she lost me completely: braids, dreads, and afros. And she had a picture of Bo Derek from 10.
That's a hella long time ago.
Yeah. Wow.
Number five, black men.
Mm.
I'm like, wait a minute, how the fuck you have us? I thought we were out of slavery. What the hell she mean? Black women have us. Whatever.
You know.
And number six, with a picture of Harriet Tubman, survivor skills.
Interesting.
Survival skills, I should say. Yeah. So
survivor skills, Survivor skills.
So I was just like, so I tweeted at the person, I'm like, this might be the dumbest thing I've ever read today. And she told me, she didn't think I was an illiterate dumb fuck. I was like, you meant the cursive.
That's what she said?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Now and that's all you wrote to her originally?
Yeah, I said, I think I have a tweet. I said, this might be the dumbest thing I've read today.
She just said, you illiterate dumb fuck. God
damn. She said, wait, you mean to tell me you're not a dumb illiterate fuck? So I got that wrong.
Oh.
I'm like,
what does that mean? Then?
I'm like, she's calling me a dumb illiterate fuck.
Wow, this is hard.
Yeah, I'm just like, this doesn't make any sense to me, especially some of her arguments that, you know, like, how are you going to say that what non-black women want braids, dreads, and afros, but black women wear weaves like all the motherfucking time? It'd be kind of hard. Matter of fact, I went on it's true.
Things make you go.
Like, I'm just like, that doesn't make any sense. And then it's like, the thing about black men essentially being the property of white women. But what I come to is like, so let me get this straight. You want to deride non-black women and even black men by extension for interracial, taking their men, so to speak. But then you want to hold up the fact that Shonda Rhimes is showing, is doing shows where black women are being found attractive by white men.
Now, you said holding up Shonda Rhimes. How does she get into this? I don't.
No, no, because with her shows of How to Get Away with Murder and Scandal, the protagonist is a black woman, and she's being Scandal. She's in a relationship with a white man, and they like the fact that she's being found attractive by white men. And How to Get Away with Murder, Viola Davis's character is married to a white man, and people said, "Yeah, it's good to see that, you know, that a black man is lusted after by a white man." And it's like,
right?
Well, what the hell?
Hold on, stop a second. So instead of we thinking about what women like to do, we have a woman here, black woman here. So I'm curious, what are your thoughts on some of the stuff you're talking about?
Well, the lips is true, because I see that all the time. And so with the tanning, too. And just being like where I am right now, they tan all the time. And it's just, I don't know, it doesn't make sense to me how they just, you look down, but then behind your back, you want to get the same kind of stuff that I naturally have. So I don't know, but I agree with some of it though, like, and I've seen like the dreads thing too. Actually, there's a patient at my job that has that, so I'm just like, okay,
everybody want to be black until the police show. That's,
yeah, exactly.
But, however, to counter that,
not with like, a fan there.
I don't believe that they're trying to get the black woman's skin tone by tanning. Mm-hmm. I mean we all speak that pale is just not a good healthy look. So I don't think they're trying to achieve that dark skin tone. Tanning, there's not enough tanning in the world to achieve the black female skin tone. And then the thing about the hair, I'm just like, but we perm our hair. Y'all perm your hair.
Not everyone.
Okay, not every white woman gets dreads.
It's true.
So I mean, so what, I just see
what about
the, thing-
the what about the behind? That's the one I see referenced a lot.
Oh yeah, what that they too.
The ass thing. You have some of their cultural icons. You know, the Kim Kardashians and the Iggy Azalea. These sort of people, like, there's a lot going on right there, in more ways than one. Like, they do definitely want to have the butt. That's like, and we've been talking about that forever.
Thank you.
I remember when that was like, I mean, he's too fat, man. He's kind of fat guy. I'm like, what are you talking about, man? It's the truth. Ah, man, she's got to be like Cindy Crawford or something, yeah.
You remember back in the day, you remember Control Janet and how, you know, she was viewed as fat and whatever, and then what was the video where she came out skinny, the one on the
Treasure Principle?
Much later.
That's the way love
wasn't
goes?
That the way love
no
was the what, one that was with on the MC beach. Light was on there. Oh,
Love Never Do. Yeah. And, you know, that's when, and I'm being stereotypical here, but that's when my white male friend stood up and took notice of Janet. I'm like, but you don't remember Control? That Janet was hot. She looked
I don't know about that.
I don't know about pressure, Control, but I know Pleasure Principle.
Yes.
Yeah. That was an awakening. Was like,
Control was like, okay. Hey, Janet.
A little thick. Thing.
You know, Pleasure Principle was like, oh, shit, look at that.
You was a young boy. You ain't even watching them videos.
Hey, hey, homie. I remember two things: Apollonia and Pleasure Principle. Thank you very much.
Okay,
alrighty.
But I mean, you know, now it's just I would have never imagined we'd be in a place where we are today, where the so much emphasis on the ass and predominant culture. It's amazing to me.
It blew up out of nowhere, though. Like, it came out of nowhere.
It was J-Lo. It was J-Lo, which, to be fair, was not a white woman. That was a Latina.
But even, I think with J-Lo, it kind of died down a little bit after her for a while. At least it seemed that way to me. And it was always in the culture of hip-hop. You know, King Magazine, all these kind of places. But it wasn't like, now it's like,
And there's this, there's this fascination with it all of a sudden, like out of nowhere.
Now they're getting shots.
I'm sorry. I think I'm going to go with J-Lo because J-Lo, I mean, I don't understand why everybody keeps her and her relationship with Diddy. That definitely, that was big for the hood. But her relationship with Ben Affleck, where they were selling tabloid magazines by the millions every time they put them on the cover, that was what blew her up. And people seeing this thick-bodied Latina chick, I think, did something to the dominant culture.
Yeah, I definitely
that's what she was known
for. But then it's like there was a break period or something. Like, who was after
Kim Kardashian?
That was a little while, though, right?
Yeah, like I said, there was a break. I think
a break there. Mm-hmm. You had a Beyonce's, but again, she's a black woman, so it wasn't like, I don't know if maybe she was so prominent and so prominent for so long that then they finally was like, well, shit, she actually looked good. Like, I want to kind of have that. And then yeah, you have the Kardashian just comes, and it's funny because Kim Kardashian came out on some, you know, the sex thing more so than the body thing, but somehow it morphed into her being, you know, all about her body and stuff. It's kind of weird.
But I don't want a cupcake for white women.
Wow.
Oh, God.
But I'm like, Marilyn Monroe, I'm just thinking, like, Marilyn Monroe wasn't a size 2. She was probably a size 6. And, you know, if you see the pictures, she was a full-figured female.
Right.
A white woman.
But so then that fell out of favor, though. They weren't sticking bones and, you know, the big breast.
That's true. Thing. That is true. But the thing that, I think one of the things that kind of rubs me the wrong way with this article is the fact that, what, to me, once again, it shows white black women, and I'm going to speak to the writer, nothing against you, Crystal.
Okay.
That being self-conscious as far as they're not being accepted by the mainstream media, which I would say, you know, prior to the 90s, that's something we could have cared about. But now in 2015... why are we still looking to mainstream media, the dominant white society, as they're not accepting of our bodies? They don't have to. We can be accepting. We know what's beautiful to us. Why should we care that they don't find Beyonce's looks and a figure attractive? We find it attractive, and guess what? She's worth $500 million because of that attractiveness.
Well, I think the pushback would be, as I think, can't even talk. The mainstream media would seem as if the demographics have changed, where it isn't about what they look like. And I think partly because more people wanting to see representation of themselves in the mainstream. You have Hispanics, blacks, and different things. So I think, you have to sort of like, it has to sort of like show different body types, skin colors, and it can't just be the kind of like when I look at that Supergirl picture, I'm like, I could have seen that picture probably 15 years ago, it'd fit right in. Today I look at that and I'm like, she doesn't really represent to me what I would think a woman, attractive woman, which you kind of think about, you know, like before when I was young, the attractive woman you thought of, she was blonde, white lady, she probably has big breasts or something, no back at all.
Pamela Anderson, you mean?
Yeah, you know, it's that type of thing. And then, you know, even racially within black culture, you know, from the 80s standpoint, they was, you know, we were always was, oh, the light skin chick, you know, red bone, you know, that was really big at that time. Now I think it is, that's that part of it still there, but now I think you see more of the kind of like Hispanic, Mexican, you start to see a lot of that, I feel like, in hip-hop type stuff for a long time. And now it's like they've co-opted everything that the body types. This is not going to sound right, but sort of, you know, when you look at twerking and different things like that, I'm not saying that's a black thing per se, but the way of moving your body and that kind of stuff, you see that now in the predominant culture, the dancing. It's like they've taken everything. Like, there's white girls whose bodies are banging, But for me as an older dude, I never saw that before. I'm like, what the heck? Are they eating hormone milk or something?
Cause I ain't gonna lie, because that's the same way I feel about these Asian women. You come down to Los Angeles,
you start to see a lot of different women, and they're having these body types, and they're some of them move like sisters, and you know what I mean. There's a certain types of style and swagger. I don't like using that word, but you know, just a way of carrying yourself and the way they movements and stuff. I see some people who know how to really mimic that to a T almost, and I'd be like, I could see how they could be a threat. I could see why they'd be like, this bitch. So I get it, you know. I can see that, but you know, times are changing, I guess, you know. But you're right too. Predominant culture is going to have its take. We have our culture, but I think our culture is somewhat dependent on predominant culture, and either it's paying attention to us or not paying attention to us. And it seems to be paying attention to everything that we like to do, but we don't always be the face of it. And you kind of see that with the music somewhat, where you have the Iggy Azalea. I mean, she damn near speak like she came from America and the streets, but she's from Australia, and she carries herself, and her body is made to look that way, and she raps that way. But you look at her and like, it don't add up. Like, this shit is fake. But she's successful because she's able to mimic that. Same, I feel the same with the Kardashian in terms of the way her body looks and how she's being presented. But she doesn't have to, as I always say, everything but the burden. She ain't got to deal with being black person, you know, and what it comes with. But you can deal with the attention, the good parts of attention that they think it is. So I can see what they're talking about in the article, personally.
All right, well, see, this is what happens when adults have conversation. They agree to disagree.
We're not calling each other B words.
Oh, man.
Y'all, it's crazy.
I'm sorry, Q, he pushes my button sometimes.
I see. All right. Speaking of, we actually have some scientific information in regarding butts, right?
What?
Exactly. Oh. What? Yes. See, I come correct. There are scientific reasons why men are so attracted to big butts.
You mean black men? Because you know,
just any men.
Okay. Break it down. I think white men don't find it that attractive.
Well, let's see what the scientists say. What's in the data?
Survey says.
I'm already calling shenanigans.
Psychology researchers at Turkey's Bill Kent University presented pictures of women's silhouettes with different degrees of spine curvature to 300 men. These men were then told to pick which women they found most and least attractive. The majority of them were partial to a spine curvature of 45.5 degrees, seemingly because it made the woman's butt look bigger. Researchers also showed that the men showed them three pictures of women with butts that were equally large, but for different reasons, spine curvature, excess fat, and excess muscle. The women with the curved spine were deemed most attractive. This led researchers to conclude that it is the angle of the spine and not the size of the rear end alone that has more of an impact on what men are drawn to. So apparently, 45.5 degrees spine curvature is attractive. And it says men have found spines of this specific degree of curvature attractive for centuries due to the effect it had on a woman's ability to find food and bear children. It's interesting. It says women without these curved spines would barely be able to move while pregnant, as a spine without such a curve increases the pressure on their hips by almost 800%. The evolutionary benefits, right, of women with these bodies therefore became ingrained in the minds of men. So apparently, fellas, there's something we're thinking about gathering food and carrying children when we see that curvature. You know, when they have the hourglass. Oh, can you put a champagne glass on that? So there's something about the curve. So I didn't know that. I mean, maybe it's tapping into a evolutionary thing in the back of our subconscious mind. It's, oh man, she can grab me some food.
I don't know about all that.
Science hour from Michael Dean. Love it.
I'm gonna tell Deb that when she gets home. I'm gonna see what she has to say about
get
that.
Get the curve. Get that rule out there, man.
Get the rule out.
I think the proper equipment would be a protractor.
Oh, I'm sorry. Why not? Get that protractor out there. See what the curve.
The only sharp thing is gonna be. Never mind. Let me know.
Oh. Yeah. Here we go. I need to know all that.
Oh, that's
crazy, man. So yeah, it's the curve. It's all about the curve, man.
All about the curve. Learning. So curve. So Megan Fox was, or not Megan Fox. What's her name? Megan Trainor was wrong. It's not all about that bass. It's about that curve.
Apparently.
This is not as catchy though, I don't think.
And speaking of co-opting, that goddamn song. Yeah. I can't imagine that little chip, that white girl, mama told her about us all about the bass. Fuck out of here.
Well, you know, hey, man. That's what's happening. Speaking of songs, I've really been following. Has anybody else been following the, and I'm going to say their names first, the T.I., Pharrell.
Yo.
And what's the other guy? Gay.
Robin
Thicke. With Marvin Gaye.
I read that this morning.
What do you think about it? Now? The jury is out. They're deliberating. So the case is now to the jurors. The judge has done something very interesting and has damn near banned any press or anybody for that matter to come into the courtroom. He's going to allow, I guess, a pool of reporters now starting Monday to come in when the jury asks questions. But before, he literally locked it down and was like, no, ain't nobody coming in this courtroom, period. So now it's into the hands of the jury to see, you know, what the situation is. Crystal, you got any thoughts about this whole thing?
Well, what I read this morning, they were talking about how Pharrell wasn't changed his stance. He's like, oh, I was influenced by, you know, got to give it up. But it was because I was working with Miley Cyrus on something. And I was trying to, like, just kind of imagine that. I'm like, where does that tie to what obviously sounds like a Marvin Gaye song, but you got throwing Miley Cyrus in them. It didn't make any sense to me. I was like, I don't know about that, for real.
Yeah, I saw that too. He says, what he says here? He says, yeah, I was channeling the late 70s feeling when he wrote
the feel or whatever. I'm like, really? Okay.
I'm like, there's no way in the world a jury, first of all, this should have never went to trial. The judge should have just made a ruling. I'm sorry. Just listen to both sides and said, just what came out. And I wouldn't even been mad at him, too, if he just came out and said, nigga, please. Like, come on.
That's what the judge
said. Yeah. I wouldn't even been mad at him either. Like, yeah, that's the same song. But the thing that was most telling was, I'm trying to figure out, how did that song make $16 million? I'm thinking there had to have been some usage by, I don't know, in films and commercials. Because I'm still trying to figure out, how does a single make $16 million in 2015?
Oh, yeah, you're right. It probably was using a whole bunch of other things. It was the biggest song of the year at that time when it came out.
That song was huge.
Yeah. So.
Well, you see, they said, if you believe what the exec said, they spent $6 million on that song. Like, that's crazy.
Wait, to make it?
Yeah, he's in the production. It was $6 million spent. He doesn't go into exactly what they spent it on, but that's the expenses of making that song.
We got T.I. on there. You got, you know, Pharrell, producing costs and all that. Yeah, I can see that.
Well, T.I., they said T.I.'s take away was half a bit. I mean, that ain't nothing to shit on, but, you know, that's it? And they got $5 million? Sheesh.
It's big money, man. And the Gay family didn't get shit. So I can see why they suing. I mean, hell yeah, man.
So I wonder who pays out, the artist or the studio?
Well, I think they're suing all of them. So they're all going to be liable, from my understanding. But we'll see. You never know. They could come back and say it doesn't infringe on it. You know, I guess we're going to find, hopefully next week we'll find out.
I don't see how you can't say it doesn't infringe upon it, but I don't know. I think they should just say, you know what, this is an homage, a vibe, whatever, as you always say, Mr. Dean, cut the check. They should have cut the check at the beginning.
Yeah.
Say, thank you for your inspiration, Mr. Gay, or the state of the gay family, and let's all ride this to the top.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. That's what real musicians would do, in my opinion. Like, especially that's why I say their names first, because everybody keeps going in on old boy. But that's to be expected from me. I don't expect T.I. and Pharrell to go at legends in this sort of manner. It's that's wild to me, and nobody else really going in on them. But I think they deserve to be going in on. You're taking black heritage royalty, and you giving it to these suckers. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's, you don't get no more Conan than that to me. I'm sorry. You're taking our shit and giving it to these cats to make a lot of money. Yeah, you getting paid too, but that's not how it's supposed to be done, man.
Yeah, I agree.
That's not a good look. And you're right. That's why I wish this was a Prince song. I really, the fool in me wishes it had been a Prince song, because he would have ate them motherfuckers up, boy.
Well, I wonder too.
He
would have
run a campaign on that ass, boy.
I wonder too if it was a question of not playing devil's advocate, I guess, not knowing who to contact.
Nope.
As far as
no, because remember we did a show last year. The publishing company that owns
that
song,
owns
this, and they knew damn well what they was doing, but they didn't think it was gonna happen, and they was getting paid both ways, so that's why I didn't want to pay. Right. So yeah, it's a very dirty
game. Because the company owns the gay's stuff too.
Yep.
So it was like, okay, that's right. I do remember that.
Yeah, very dirty game. That's why I say it. It's, they did this shit on purpose. They didn't think they was gonna, that company thought they was gonna be slick, and the money just comes to us anyway, so there's no one's gonna notice. We just get all this money. Nah, man. That's why I said, I'm glad Nona Gay stepped up. I hope other artists fucking campaign for them too, and make note of this type of stuff. It's not good, man. It's not supposed to do it like this.
All you gotta do is just give the sample credit. That's it.
Yeah. But they trying to, cats get on that money thing, man. They start to lose their whole value system and get to selling out pretty much.
In a kind of unrelated but related story, I was taking Paula to her birthday dinner last week, and I have her own, she's got her own playlist, and Happy is on there, and it came on, and she started singing this song, and I'm sitting there going, somewhere I failed as a father. This child knows all the words to Happy.
Wow.
It could be worse.
Yeah, that's true.
She could be singing, whatever.
But she also knows some of the words, the Blurred Lines too. So I guess, I don't know. It's all reciprocal, I guess.
All right. I think we're going to be getting up out of here. Last
Epic
call
day.
For alcohol.
Well, I'm on my third. What you talking about?
Damn. So I went dry this episode. I got my mind on some katsu chicken with some fried rice. Ugh. I gotta get it. I have to eat that kind of stuff every week, or I have problems. Gotta have my Asian food, man. All right. So we had a good show. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to this. You may be listening to this days later, or however I release it. But we done, what, two shows today? And both of them have been like 2 hours almost apiece. Yeah, the Skype thing says 4 hours and 14 minutes.
Jeez.
God damn. I'm podcasting. All right. Let's go around the room and get up out of here. Crystal, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Chris Neese, CrysNeece. That's where I will be.
All right. Well, thank you for sitting in with us today.
Yes.
Pleasure's all mine. Right. I had a good time.
Good.
And you sat in once and you came back.
Came back, yes.
Oh, yeah.
That's what's up. That's on fleek.
Okay.
If on fleek is my new most annoying phrase, that's what's up is what's my
that's what's up. I do find myself saying that sometimes. Oh, that's what's up. It's funny. I was at work or something. I had to stop myself. I was like, what the fuck am I about to say? Hey, Mike, did you get that thing? Oh, yeah. That's what's up. Yeah. I got you. You got to sometimes reel yourself. I'm at work.
Yeah.
Certain things you just don't say. What up, my name? I mean, hey. No. Nah. All right.
I ain't going to even lie. I dropped a couple of N-bombs with non-black.
Really?
People. Yes.
Wow.
No, we were just driving. We was talking. I was like, is this dumb nigga? I was like, oh, shit. Yeah. Well, you know, he was stupid. And I was like, oh, man.
You've had a lot of transgressions today, sir.
Yeah, I ain't gonna even lie. I dropped it one time. I got a little too hyped and it slipped out. I was like, yeah, I know y'all can't repeat after me. Okay?
Well, you done already threw it out there.
Like, hey, that's
you
me.
Got you calling non-black people the N-word.
No, I didn't call them that. I was talking about something that had happened.
Oh.
Outside
they gonna catch a beat there. We'll see. Ed, who said it?
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, okay. You
don't know who Rakim is, right? You don't like Rakim. Excuse me.
I think he's overrated. And yes, I said.
Oh God!
Your ass looks good in tight jeans. I mean, man, you got a lot on your plate there, sir.
Oh God!
I did just hear that. Overrated. All right. You better ask me where they can find me before I go make another drink.
Where can they find you, sir?
Oh, you can find me on Facebook, Sean Hill, of course, and Real Movie Talk, Twitter at Hill Street Views, and the blog hillstreetviews.blogspot.com. I promise I am still working on the I'm not saying this just to be nasty. Look back at 1999. It's just slow inspiration writing, but it's coming. So check that out soon.
All right. And Mr. Ampu.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Ampu. And I'll have a new column at 401 Mania, Comic Egg Ball, tomorrow around 8 o'clock.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Podcast Juice. We want to thank you for your time. We will see you next time. You know what we're about to say. Work it like a job. Peace.